We begin again. How are you guys doing? Listeners, people out in the world, how are you guys feeling? You guys doing all right? I hope so. I hope this day can be a great day for you guys. We're going to be here having fun discussing Kolok 1991, a tabletop live play series which usually broadcasts on Mondays on twitch.tv/hyperRPG. Right now, currently on a hiatus, but we'll be coming back in the future, once it's safe to do so. And while you're at it, if you haven't had the chance, catch the video on demand of Kolok 1991, starting with Season 1 on youtube.com/hyperRPG. Hit up the playlist, Kolok 1991 is right there to enjoy. Curious about some of the other stuff they're talking about in Kolok, there's also the 10 Kendalls playlist you can check out as well. I'm kidding on. One of the passengers, just like you guys, who enjoys watching Kolok, and I'll be joined by two others as we recap through Season 2, Episode 10 of Kolok 1991, titled Lullaby. Followed by a conversation highlighting the moments that stuck out to us, what we thought about these moments, what they might be leading to, and how this episode's rumors may influence the future of the show. As listeners, you matter. You can interact with this podcast through our Twitter account at KolokPod or by emailing us your thoughts to backatthestartpod@gmail.com. Before we begin, let's introduce the other passengers joining me today. Hey guys, how are you guys doing?
Hey, it's KSAA here on all the interwebs.
And it's Logan Pars, known as Logan Pars pretty much everywhere.
You found yourself back at the start.
The team is back at school after the madness that they experienced in the caves, Phobos, and Grotto. An assembly is called for, and we have Tibby, Mickey, and Billy heading together towards the assembly. And Peg shows up, who has actually been at school for a little bit. And as she gets ready to sit down, she's shocked by seeing Cassandra appear as his new school principal. But the rest of the radar kind of shrugs it off, because at the moment she hasn't done anything to warrant the fear that she, you know, put in them earlier. But also, they can't do anything about it. What's this? Where's the real Billy? The team finds out that a fake Billy joined them for school and for a little while and without anybody realizing it. And unfortunately, it's at the assembly that the team gets the sad news of the death of Mike Hunt. Laura moves into a spare bedroom in Mallory's home, and the two of them encounter a talking Cheese. It's Cheese, y'all. But he's grown up a bit. More like out. But you get the point. Cheese explains to Mallory and Laura everything that has happened to him since being separated from them. The three of them head off in search of the rest of the group to help find Mike Mickelson, who helped out Cheese while in custody of the Traveler. Speaking of the Traveler, Tibby, Mickey, and Peg, and fake Billy, they all are off on their way to find the real Billy. Yes, they ended up ditching classes for the rest of the day in order to find the real Billy. Dear Billy. And on their way, the Traveler intercepts them, searching for Billy as well. A skirmish between a weakened Traveler and the radar leads to the defeat of the Traveler. Mallory, Laura, and Cheese meet up with the rest of the crew and head to Billy's house, where they find Dear Billy, the real Billy, and Coma Billy playing video games. How that works with the Coma Billy, he was just kind of, it was Weekends at Bernie's essentially, but Weekends at Billy, okay, you get that. After everyone gets debriefed about what's happening, the team head to the ranger station, which is where Cheese last remembered being. In their search of Mike Mickelson, the radar runs into another Alice from the underground tunnel. Not the same one, a different one. She leads them to a portal to who knows where. And Mallory, without even thinking, jumps into the portal. Impeg grabs him, trying to keep him from falling, but to no avail. It doesn't work, and unfortunately, he pulls her down with them. And the rumors for this episode were the hole drains, the hole drinks, the hole feeds, the hole whispers when she's 10 feet tall.
Now, we had the last episode. We were in the Grotto.
and all that nonsense has happened. And we're back at school. Holy snap, how things have changed in the short amount of time that we were gone.
Yeah, we have a whole new principal. Not sure where that's going to go.
Yeah, a lot of stuff has changed because M hasn't seen the radar for a week. Mickey's been staying at Tibby's house, and Tibby's house has been picketed by that cult.
Yep, the daddy cult has been busy.
Oh, man, the daddy cult. I know Zach came up with the acronym for it. Does anybody happen to remember what the acronym for daddy was?
I had it written down at one point, but I don't have it handy. It was pretty good, though.
Yeah, I don't have it right now.
Oh, we're definitely going to have to look that up because that was one of my favorite moments just earlier in the season where he just kind of points out, yeah, this is what this is. It's an acronym. But yeah, we're back in school and we kind of get started, the crew together, Tibby, Mickey, and Billy. I guess they all have class together at this point. And there's a school assembly. You know, we find Cassandra, the creepy centipede lady that bothered them, that they encountered in the video store and as well as Mallory's place. Like, man.
Definitely.
Very creepy. And for her to pop up like that as the principal just out of the blue is pretty damn weird.
I love Impeg's reaction to it. So she's like, wait, you guys are okay with this? And it kind of goes along with the theme of like how just everything is just normal, even though they're all aware that, like, yeah, we know this is weird, but we're just going to be okay with it. You know, I love how everybody's just like, well, she hasn't hurt us yet, so we're fine. We'll deal with it when the time comes.
Yep. That was interesting. And then we also find out some interesting things during that assembly, and including some Billy secrets.
Oh, yeah, Billy. Or not Billy.
Fake Billy. Or not Billy. And then this is the episode, too, where we get Hank and Henry and all the Billies.
Yeah, there were so many Billies. It was so much fun. This is actually the first episode in a bit that we've had. We had a few spinoffs with, you know, Billyverse. Ultimately, we're dealing with all the Billies. And we will touch on that in another episode. But yeah, We got 28 Billies roaming the world, or however many that's left after all that nonsense has happened. We find out, after a little test that Impeg gives fake Billy, what temperature is it?
Yeah, and she had no idea. She was just doing that off the cuff. They weren't actually actively trying to test him. They were just screwing around, and it turned out, well, Billy wasn't Billy.
Yeah. And we got that. That's for sure.
And I can totally see, you know, our regular Prime Billy being the type of, like, screw it, I don't want to go to school. If I can get somebody else to do it for me, he would totally do that.
Well, yeah, he actually does that later on in the episode, making a deal with fake Billy.
It's a very, very Billy thing to do. But yeah, I was amused how sort of that came out of the blue, that little piece. And then we unfortunately do find out what happened in the long run to poor Michael Sweater's Hunt. And how he could not hold himself together.
Yeah, I don't think anyone was really prepared for that one.
Yeah, I think we're kind of hoping that, I think it was, he went off with Apartment C and stuff, didn't he? So they were kind of hoping they'd figure out a way to fix him.
Yeah, and that was, man, like, you know, like Tibby was so shook by that news, too. Because he was the one who did what he did to Mike, even though he wasn't in the right mind, he wasn't even aware. But to think about it, like, their powers, I don't think they ever even, like, it was so quick after the Grotto was destroyed, where I don't think they had the opportunity to really think about, like, wait a minute, if our powers aren't working anymore, that means other people's powers aren't working. So I think with this Mike, you know, situation, that probably hit them the hardest because it was like, yeah, he didn't have his powers anymore.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And for a guy who was created as a joke character originally, he ended up having quite the story arc that people got quite attached to him.
Yeah, and it's just, man, like, it's got to be tough. I feel bad. Like, everybody's got to feel bad for Tibby, man. Like, Tibby, he's the heart and soul of the team. But then he gets so much pain and he gets damaged left and right. Just how can he keep it all together? It's just, whew, boy, man, like, I feel my boy Tibby, man, like, he's got to catch a break.
Oh, yeah, Tibby goes through a lot, that's for sure. It's hard for him. And yeah, definitely when they did that announcement, it hit him the hardest, I think.
We did get some good news, though, because they found Nick Blakely.
This is true. Nick is back from being invisible.
Is it really good news for Nick? Because let's think about it. He just randomly disappeared, and nobody in his family could ever find him. So, first of all, he had to strip, so you gotta assume the moment that he, you know, came back, he was naked, so it was probably some indecent exposure somewhere. And then his family doesn't even know where he's at, so you gotta wonder, maybe did they give up, or did they, you know, leave town to search for him? All this nonsense. But still, yes, Nick is back, which is cool, and at least we know they know about Nick. On the other hand, there's a few other people, one person in particular, that they don't remember, that they should.
Yeah, poor Mike Mikkelsen. He's probably had it about the worst of everyone.
Yeah, that's a really rough power.
Yeah, and Mike, we find out where Mike has been this whole time. But wait, who told us about Mike? Oh no, we get a visitor outside Mallory's place. But before we talk about that, let's talk about how Laura decided to move into Mallory's place. He has a spare room. He must have been lonely. But she moves into his place and just, you know, now they're roommates. So that's gotta be fun, right? You got at least someone else to, like, cope with, interact with, and, you know, go through the same stuff.
Yeah, I'm hoping it helped stabilize Mallory, because Mallory was having some troubles there for a while.
Yeah, I mean, he's still apparently having problems at the beginning of the episode, because he's sitting there staring at the garbage disposal, remembering putting his hand in it and thinking about doing it again, even though he doesn't have Tibby around to heal his hand.
Yep, he definitely was dealing with his trauma in a different way than most of them were, and it got pretty messy.
That is kind of creepy. Like, not creepy. I say the word creepy a lot. I don't always mean it, but that's kind of, like, it's worrisome. The fact that he had the urge to do it again. And you know he understands that Tibby can't help him out in the back of his head, but he's still like, he got some kind of, what's the word I'm looking for? You had that masochist feeling where you just like, I enjoyed the pain. You know, yeah, getting healed was great, but like that pain and the need to feel like, that was a way for him just to feel alive. And the fact that he wanted to do it until Laura, she kind of shows up and then he kind of snaps out of it. It's worrisome to say the least.
For sure. Yeah, I mean, he was definitely dealing with his trauma by doing physical damage to himself, which is not a healthy thing to do.
All right, guys, here it is. So we hear a little voice. They hear a little voice. Mallory's kind of just doing his thing. Here's a voice. Doesn't know what's going on. She looks here and there. And then all of a sudden, he opens the door and he sees a jar of flesh, but with legs, arms, and a really creepy baby head.
That thing that they made creeped everybody out.
Yes, guys. It's Cheese. Cheese has returned to the radar, and you see the picture, you see the jar itself, just makes you want to just kind of like puke on the inside, because like that was just a disturb. That was nightmare fuel, that jar, right, Logan?
Oh, yeah. I don't think Aubrey was about it when she first saw it either. But, you know, eventually she got over it and started braiding its hair.
Oh, yeah, everybody was pretty freaked out by that thing when it showed up.
Oh, yeah. And that's one of the great things about Zach and the crew. Zach, Adam, Lucas, Malika, how they're able to, you know, they're willing to do all this extra stuff for, you know, for the show. Physical, you know, getting a lot of that physical prop adds so much more to it. When we first got Cheese, he was just in the jar. He was a disgusting thing of flesh. And then when we get the return, after Laura, like, lost him and she went through her kind of depression of losing Cheese, you see little bits of skin kind of, like, surrounding his arms and legs. He was like a baby cheese. And oh, man, like, yeah. And I just love how all that physical props, like, adds to the story in itself. It adds to the creepiness, the weirdness, the disturbingness of the show as well.
Can I talk about how weird it was to have Ethan's disembodied voice talking through cheese? I mean, it's just, I don't think we saw anything like that in a previous episode where you just had, like, basically a prop talking to everyone.
I love that they put headphones on the jar.
That was hilarious.
That was so much fun. It was, like, the fact that they did that, and, like, I'm so glad Ethan was there to be able to add to that. You know, we all know there's going to be more of cheese somehow. Because in that same talk with Mallory and Laura, he was mentioning how his body was growing. He didn't know how fast it was growing, but it was growing. And so with that, with knowing that, you realize, like, okay, how fast is he? You know, how fast? But also, guess what? This happened after the guys and the gals destroyed Phobos, Billy, or made Phobos disappear. Maybe not quite destroyed. You can't
disconnect it. I think they disconnected it, basically.
Yeah, there you go. Thank you. Yeah, disconnected, you know, Koloth or that universe from Phobos. So we learned that disconnection affected cheese weirdly, oddly.
I think this was the first episode in season two where they started to lean more into the body horror stuff, which they've definitely done a fair amount of at this point in season two.
Yeah, the body horror at this, yeah, kind of started to ramp up from this episode. And again, it was one of those memes where, what was it? Like, did he get all that energy that was just disconnected? Was it a case of, like, he had it in him, but there was, like, a jump start that needed to happen? It only happened when... So, and my part of my little theory was simply, like, Phobos kind of, like, had a lot of his energy in him and just kind of, like, yeah, in case of anything happening, you're kind of, like, my conduit to be able to potentially restart, you know, the grotto and everything again. At least that was my theory when I first heard that. I was like, okay, so he's kind of like a, you know, an apostle. Like, he's kind of like, you know, something like that. So
yeah, like an avatar.
Exactly, an avatar. So that was interesting to see.
I do wonder if anything happened with any of the other melted people who did not get burned up, because there were a few of them that we know that melted that didn't get burned up, and I'm curious if anything happened with them or if it was a cheese-only thing.
Yeah, that's what I was wondering as well. I was about to say something. There were a lot of people that melted, and I wonder if any of them actually were affected in the same way or if something happened to them.
Yeah, like the girl, the teenager who melted in the school with the janitor. You gotta wonder if something ended up happening with her later.
Well, Fawn, I think, was reclaimed. I think she went straight to Mammon, so I don't think Fawn's coming back.
Oh, that's true. You got a good point there.
Yeah, definitely something to think about. It's like, okay, so where's everybody? What's going to happen?
But yeah, we know there were some people who melted who didn't get reclaimed or burned up.
That's definitely going to be a plot thread in the future, potentially, where maybe we start seeing other people pop out of nowhere that shouldn't be. At this point, everybody would have to have known, like, who legit died, because I will assume there was some kind of, like, sign-in sheet at the voluntary fire department for the debate. So you would know who was there and who died, quote-unquote, whether it was just by melting or it was by melting and being burned or just burned. So that's a thread that can definitely be opened up again in the future. It will be interesting to see.
I thought there was a rumor concerning that. Does anyone remember?
Oh, you might be right, but I don't remember. I'd have to look it up.
Yeah, that's true. There's all the rumors that we have. Part of me wonders, like, while the chat gets a vote for which rumor happens, I still have a feeling like some of those rumors that maybe doesn't get chosen, there's a possibility, like, especially with people adding their own evidence to those rumors, Zach probably sees a few of them like, you know what? I can work with this. So typically we have one winning, but it can easily be something that's reoccurring. Like, my own personal favorite rumor is the crazy stalker nurse. I just kind of want her to just keep showing up randomly, because why not? It adds to the creepiness. And yeah.
Oh yeah, I could see some of the rumors who haven't won coming around again later in the story for sure.
So we got the team. We got the team. Having their interaction with the fake Billy, learning about him and what's happened with him. And the fake Billy just being like, no, I'm not fake. I'm the real Billy. And Tippy wasn't having any of that. And so Tippy tried to throw a punch, which was pretty interesting.
Yeah, in this system, fighting is usually not advised. So you either do really badly or really well by trying to throw a punch.
Yep. And it was funny because Tibby gets his punch caught, so that was hilarious.
And since we're talking about the body horror stuff, I want to talk a little bit about the first time watching Kolok that I had to turn away, which is when we got to the Traveler bit, that filter that Zach used for being Melty Traveler. I had a little trouble with that.
Oh, like, why do you have to remind? Oh, whew. It was great visual effects, but yes, that was probably the most disturbing thing to see. Just his face. Oh, gosh. I loved it because it was awesome visual effects, but like you said, Gaia, the skin crawling right now just thinking about it.
Oh, yeah, it was really cool how they did it, but boy, I did not like the visuals. But that was the point. You weren't supposed to like it.
Logan, how did that make you feel with the whole melting aspect?
That stuff doesn't actually bother me, but I thought it was really, really cool. I just kept on staring at it to see if it was just going to melt more and more and more.
Yeah, I love that. I do love that they found a bunch of those filters that they were able to use for various effects at certain points in the show.
Right, and it's always interesting seeing the chat's reaction when, like, some of these filters and everything happens. Because you can see the chat was like, nope, I'm done. Why did you do this while I was eating? Nope, we're good, snack, stop.
Yeah, it was funny, because the cheese thing, I mean, it was pretty weird looking, but the cheese thing didn't bother me, but yeah, that melty thing was not great.
I think it was, like, for the cheese thing, it was like, alright, we had that initial shock with cheese in the jar and everything, and it was like, yeah, the baby arms, that was weird. But then the visual effects of seeing just his body melting, and it was like, and it was the phase. You just like, oh, okay, let's probably continue. But yeah, like you said, melting, we get the Traveler. The crew decided that they wanted to find the real Billy. Not fake Billy, find the real Billy, figure out what the heck is going on, and on their way to finding the real Billy, they run into the Travelers whose body is melting since Phobos was disconnected from the universe, and he's searching for Billy himself. But why? To be honest.
Yeah, we find out that the Traveler is still around, but is basically constantly melting because of the changes that happened. So it makes things very difficult for him, which is probably good for everybody else.
Not just him, but apparently Clarence is in the same boat.
Yeah, that's true, and we're still not sure what is happening with him, but we do know that that's happening as well. We just don't know what he's up to.
Yeah, it makes me wonder about their connection with Phobos overall. Like, what exactly, like, what is the Traveler? Like, we know, he can shapeshift, or is he really shapeshifting? He's searching for Billy, but I think it's implied that he's more of a body jumper than a shapeshifter, because with Justin, you know, all of a sudden we find out that Justin is the Traveler. But then he was also, you know, Mai Lin's character in the multiple shot, one shot. So I think it's probably more body jumping than anything. And being the case, like, the body, maybe that body he had. Oh, actually, that would make more sense. Okay, yeah, maybe it's just the body.
Yeah, I think there's still a lot that we don't know about the Traveler character, and I'm hoping that we do find out more.
Yeah, he actually makes a comment that makes me wonder, because he says that he was just like them previously before Clarity had other ideas. So did Clarity do something to the Traveler?
Yeah, that's a very good point. He did mention that, I remember. I'm hoping that's a thread we can follow at some point in the future.
That's actually kind of cool. Anytime we get some comment about Clarity, I'm just thinking about, I hope Marcus is doing all right. But yeah, the whole Clarity thing is like, how far does the web she wove go?
You know? She's super powerful. There's no question about that. And I still think that there's a lot of, you know, like you said, webs, pieces of her web that we haven't seen pop up yet.
All right. So, you know, once again, we don't know what the Traveler is, shapeshifter, body jumper, whatever the case is. The crew is told by Mickey not to trust him. You know, like, we can't trust this dude. And so they're telling the Traveler, hey, guess what? They don't have their powers anymore. The Grotto's been destroyed. They have no powers. He doesn't care. He still wants Billy. So it's definitely interesting, like, why Billy himself? For those who haven't seen the one shot that we had, Billy is actually, just to go back a little bit, Billy is actually the ego of Lucas. And, you know, that was thrown into another body. And the Traveler, the two of them actually came from a town called Undecided. So maybe that's the reason. Maybe he has to actually, he needs a body from, or he needs someone that's somehow connected to Undecided to let that happen. So that's a possibility. A little thought that came up to my head.
I'm still wondering what Billy's true purpose was, because the Traveler says something that Billy was supposed to stop all this from happening. Like, Phobos wasn't supposed to be destroyed, and Billy was supposed to stop something, stop him from melting. I don't know what Billy's purpose was supposed to be.
Yeah, we still don't know. We know that the Traveler helped create him in his current form, but we don't know exactly what they wanted him to do.
Just another thread to follow in this story of Golok 1991. And yeah, like, and I think that was a whole part of Billy's too, his whole existential crisis he was having. He was like, who am I really? Like, he knows he's not really Billy. He knows that he's just an ego that was supplanted on whoever this current Billy was. So you can understand why, you know, maybe he didn't go to school, because he didn't feel like he needed to. It wasn't really him. He wasn't really a Billy to be in the first place. And the team has a little skirmish, a fight with the Traveler. And because the Traveler is not in his best state, or her, however you want to see it, he just melts. You know, they fight a little bit here and there. He melts into a puddle, and that's all we know of the Traveler. And then, just before we hit the mid-break, we get a little girl rolling up on the radar. She talks about killing them, and then she then mentions that, yep, there are others that she could kill in the school. That's weird, right?
I'm guessing she was talking about Cassandra, but I'm not sure. Because Cassandra doesn't belong in our universe, right?
I don't know that. We know so little about Cassandra and Pox and everything, so. Well, I guess, you know, based upon Pox, they don't do, long in the universe because Pox came from the universe prior.
Yeah, and I mean, Cassandra talks about taking things out of our universe, like that tape that didn't belong. So I'm assuming she doesn't belong. But I mean, yeah, it's kind of inferred. They don't actually say that.
Yeah, that makes sense. Basically, anybody that doesn't really belong in universe, Kolok B is probably what the kid, the girl is referring to. But the way that she just kind of came up and just kind of like did her thing, it was like, okay, that's a little weird, but yeah, creepy. That's the word.
Yeah, that was a bit messed up. The 12-year-old showing up and talking about killing people. Like, that can't be good.
Okay, so mid-break happened. We see the rumors. Now, we don't know what rumor's going to win, but let's talk about the rumors real quick. So, the chat got a chance to vote for the whole drains, the whole drinks, the whole feeds, the whole whispers. In quote, when she's 10 feet tall. So, I'm curious what your guys' thought was at that point of, like, each rumor. Zach does a great job at making a lot of the rumors vague enough for people to be like, what? But then also, like, knowing his brain, you're like, okay, this can be really good, this can be creepy, and so on.
Yeah, that was a great set of rumors, I thought, because they were more abstract, and you had to really try and think about how they might fit in with the story, to try and guess what might be a good, quote-unquote, one to vote for.
Yeah, to be honest, I didn't even try to figure them out because they were so vague and my mind was just never going to get to the conclusion.
Yeah.
I'm sure Zach was gleeful about posting those rumors because they were so odd and so vague.
And even looking at it now, I'm just like, the whole dreams? Like, at the end of the day, I'm thinking different universes. To be honest, like the whole drains, maybe it drains into another, like Kolok, or you know, like everything I see here, like the whole, like I think of like how like you know, be a tunnel connecting two different universes to one another, and it's just kind of like, you know, maybe the whole drinks of the universe feeds, you know, that's what my mind went when I saw just, like, the whole, like, in general.
I wonder, I mean, I'm not going to get too spoily, I'm just going to be vague about it, but I wonder if the whole drains has to do with the whole rain thing.
Well, I not just drains, but drinks, too, because, you know.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
So,
yeah, both of those.
The first three in general just seem so much like, I'm just, yeah, that's why I didn't even try. It's just so confusing.
Right. And that's the fun about these rumors, especially when you see, like, just everybody's trying to vote for a certain one. And you're like, man, I want this to happen. Just because. So we come back from the mid-break, and guess what? We have the rest of the Kolok radar showing up with cheese. At first, the crew is like, wait, you, what? And then eventually, they get in with Laura and Mallory, and it's off to Billy's house.
This has, this from this part where they show up at Billy's house, it was the inspiration for somebody's fan art that I really loved, where somebody actually drew the bit where Billy sitting in the living room attempting to play video games with the coma Billy.
Yeah, that was definitely the whole, yeah, that was a fun moment. Like, how you know, you get so bored, you gotta be able to have somebody to play with, even if somebody that's not responsive at all. At least you can pretend you're playing with somebody. And hey, you can never lose. And if you're losing, well, you're doing something wrong.
Exactly. It was a very silly sequence. I enjoyed it.
All right. They break in. They, you know, weirdly enough, they break into Billy's place. They find Billy. All that stuff happens. And like you guys mentioned actually earlier, you guys were talking about how, like, what's happening to the people that also melted, just like Cheese. So Cheese was talking about how everything that's happened, what happened to him, and explaining how, like, he felt this kind of energy that came out of nowhere. It just happened recently. So M is kind of like piecing two and two together. Like, wait, it was because we destroyed Bubbles. We destroyed the grotto, the connection. And she was like, oh, what would happen? Is it maybe something that's going to happen to everybody else that's suffered the same fate as Cheese? Or is she really, or is Cheese just like someone unique for some reason?
Yeah, I do wonder if it's like Cheese's power, quote unquote, or if it's something else. And if it is something else, what causes it or who causes it?
Yep, and then we get Cheese's mission to the crew. We gotta save Mike. Mike did everything he can to help Cheese out, and now it's their turn to return the favor and save Mike.
Yes, indeed, they're trying to save Mike, and this led to one of the most amusing episode endings.
That ending, but let's have this fun moment. We get the whole Billy existential crisis, or is it Henry? No, it's Hank or Billy. So many name changes with this kid, he can't make up his mind. But anyways, we are now heading to save Mike Mikkelsen, the kid that you can never remember. But now that Phobos is gone, everybody, once they see him, will be able to actually remember him from that point forward, which still sucks for Mike, because up until the powers were reset or whatever you want to call it, nobody's going to remember him, not even his own family. Like, and I don't know, do you guys know if, like, records of him was also deleted in the process as well because he was basically non-existent?
Yeah, I think when his power activated and people stopped being aware of him, that records of him or anything obvious about him also ceased to exist. Well, that was the impression I got anyway.
Yeah, I'm not sure either way, but even if there was a record of him, I don't think anyone would recognize it anyway, so they would probably dismiss it.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, that does make sense. He probably does have records. And if he did, nobody would know. And if he didn't, it'll still be kind of creepy anyways it would be definitely creepier if his records definitely didn't exist at all whatsoever. So off to the ranger station we go.
Oh, I was about to say, that is an interesting question, though, because, like, his parents' house, what happens if there's pictures of him still around? How do they react to that?
That's a good question. I'd be curious about that, too.
Yep, and these are questions that I wish we were able to ask when this will be deleted. Oh, man, because there's so many fun things to, like, just throw at them, because, that's actually... That's actually pretty interesting, because you would assume maybe all instances of Mike Mikkelsen is just deleted, and then people just remember Mike for who he is in those brief moments. Yeah, that's something to ask Zach when we get the opportunity, because that'll be a storyline itself, where, like, maybe they add, this would be fun, like, another time, another season happens. Maybe Mike is added to the group because, we've had some pretty damn good NPCs, get an actor to play them and then to join the cast. So Mike will be such a fun, you know, character to throw in, especially with the way Naeem has been able to portray him, where, like, he's going to deal with this crisis of, like, nobody's going to know who he is, and he's going to have to somehow, like, reconnect. So I wonder if there's any chance where maybe, like, there's, like, emotional connection that he can have with people that maybe, like, they still won't know him, but they at least feel comfortable. Like, his parents, like you guys said about his family, like, what if, his family doesn't remember him, but they at least know, like, oh, okay, this is something warm and fuzzy, and, they feel something good with this kid. They can't explain why, but I would definitely love it if, like, maybe potentially Naeem joins the crew as Mike, and we get some more story arcs and storylines, like, from that perspective.
Yeah, I would love to see more Naeem on the show. He's done a really great job as Mike.
Oh, yes, definitely.
All right, and then let's go back to the rumors that we have. The whole drains, the whole drinks, the whole feeds, the whole whispers when she's 10 feet tall. And we, in that process, meet Alice. 2.0, 2, 3, one of them. We meet Alice, and we find out, some people figured out that when she's 10 feet tall is referring to Alice in Wonderland. So that rumor actually won. And a little bit later, we figure out what exactly that meant for the crew.
Yep, that rumor winning. I wonder, Zach says he often knows what rumor is going to win, and I wonder if he knew that one was going to win for that week.
I have a feeling he did.
It's true. It could be that he phrased it deliberately, so that was the one that stood out.
Yep, that's what I was thinking.
Zach knows all, so like you guys said, he probably set it up so that it was like, yeah, this is gonna make them interested in picking this one and so on. Especially, you know, there's definitely probably a ton of people who read books and whatnot. So with the Alice in Wonderland reference there, when she's 10 feet tall, I think makes a huge difference for people being like, yeah, this is probably something that would intrigue me.
Yeah, Zach's a smart boy. He probably did.
All right, while they were actually heading there, Mickey kind of discussed what Phobos told them, which is that Phobos and Harmonia isn't necessarily good versus evil, but more so two halves of the same coin. They're both needed for balance. You know, they're both like, you know, yin and yang. One is order, one is chaos. Order equals death, chaos equals life. But they're both necessary. And we find out that Phobos is chaos. We find out Phobos, you know, is life. So without Phobos, that means Harmonia is now going to be dominant in that universe. And if Harmonia, according to Phobos, means death, that means what he said was basically a precursor to what will come. You just don't know in what way and how big of a fashion, but clearly that was some foreshadowing into the future.
For sure. No doubt.
All right. We get Alice. She shows up. They're still trying to find a way to, you know, they're trying to find their way around the cabin, the ranger station, and all of a sudden the team finds a hole. A cellar door. You know, Alice leads them actually to that cellar door. And, you know, she finds out about the traveler's death. She's like, okay, cool. Hopefully he stays dead. She opens the door for them. She falls in. And the story of Alice in Wonderland came to the group's collective mind. Except for, you know, Mallory, clearly. Whether he actually knew or not is moot point, because Mallory jumps into the hole, pure instinct, and without even realizing it, and Pegs grabs onto him. He pulls her down with him, and they're falling in a hole to who knows where.
And thus the story shifted.
Yeah. Zach put a hole in front of them. I'm just saying, somebody would have jumped in. If it wasn't Mallory, it was going to be Billy, or it was going to be someone else.
You're probably right.
Yeah, I think it was most likely Billy. If we will have to guess, those are the only two that are just, like, pure, like, just impulsive. The rest of them will kind of, like, test it out. Tibby might be a possibility, but, like, Tibby would only jump in if something happened to Mickey. So if something had happened to Mickey and she fell in by accident, then Tibby would definitely 100% jump in. But I don't see the rest of it happening that way. So that was a crazy episode. Lullaby, Call of 1991. What was your guys' final thoughts on this episode in particular?
It was a big episode. A lot happened in it. We started to dive deep into the body horror, and the story shifted due to that jump at the end.
Yeah, it was definitely another big change to the show and how the show flowed going forward.
Yeah, it was definitely a lot of the same greatness, storytelling, acting from the players, and so on. Thank you guys for listening. We are at the end of the road. We're going to pull over, head into park for this episode of Back at the Start. We have myself, Kenanon, Logan Pars, and Gaia. And we appreciate you guys for listening to this episode. Don't be afraid to share your guys' opinions, your thoughts. Hit us up on Twitter. Tell us what you think. We're going to keep diving deep into Kolok and just have fun. Thank you for listening to Back at the Start, a fan discussion podcast for the tabletop live play show Kolok 1991 on HyperRPG. Your hosts today were Gaia, Kidanon, and Logan Pars. This podcast was edited by Kidanon and recorded on March 30th, 2020. Special thanks to Ray Wise for the introduction and outro soundbite, and to Zach Lim Eubank for giving permission for us to use it. Kolok 1991 is streamed live every Monday at 6 p.m. Pacific time on twitch.tv/hyperrpg and is available on demand via Twitch and YouTube. It is also available in podcast form. Just search for Kolok 1991 on your favorite podcasting platform. You can follow us at Kolok Pod on Twitter for updates and to interact with the show. You can also email us at backatthestartpod@gmail.com. Thank you again for listening. And
you found yourself back at the start.